Welcome to Mr. Black Pasta's bloody basement. I'm Mr. Black. Isn't that cool? This is my show, where we talk about God knows what. Well, I've got my head in my heart.
Fuck you! No, fuck you! Fuck you!
I would be dead if they both fell apart.
Oh, no.
I've got no time for my fears.
Leave me the
fuck
alone!
They fade away, but they won't disappear,
Bloody Basement Podcast.
By Mr. Black Pasta.
The Bloody Basement Podcast, I'm Mr. Black, and with me today is not Irish Joe. Unfortunately, couldn't make it. He had to do dinner with his wife, which is a pansy-ass thing to do. So instead, I've brought somebody from Australia. This is Daniel. Daniel, how are you, mate? We haven't properly shaken hands, I think, yet.
G'day, mate. Yes, no, known each other for so little, didn't even get the time, you know.
That's the crazy thing about it. Should we just jump right in and start off with how we met? I mean, because we go way back, if I'm honest.
Yeah, exactly. It's a full 24 hours, I reckon.
Okay, so how did we meet? What happened? What put us in this position?
Well, I was down in Dunglow yesterday, and went to a pub called Sea View or Ocean View. I can't really remember. It was well inebriated at the time, and then we had old mate here playing some good old tunes, and unfortunately I was one of three people to be watching him, but it was a pretty good watch, you know. It's pretty good. And then I came on back and we had a bit of a talk and told me he's got this whole routine going on, and it's pretty bloody awesome. So,
well, yeah, that's exactly what happened. For Americans that may not pick up on the accent, I'll just fill them in on some of the details from my side of it, the way I saw it. I was playing in a place, the Bayview, very close with the name, Bayview, which is in Dunlow, Ireland, and there was nobody in the bar but me, and three guys walked in, and one of them happened to be yourself, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
We should probably add that this happened yesterday, and now you're in Derry today in the studio doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Daniel, have you ever done a podcast before?
No, I haven't.
No, this is your first podcast.
First podcast, yeah.
But you said to me a couple of minutes ago that you did a little bit of YouTube and
stuff. Yes, that's right. I didn't think that'd be considered a podcast, but yeah, I've done some commentary over video games and that, but but not a full-on podcasting, like one-on-one sort of thing. So there's a whole new experience to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not long at it. This is season two for us, episode three. So it's a new game for us all. But I thought it would be really interesting to have a podcast with two strangers that really knew nothing about each other. I don't know your last name even.
Yes, it's Behrens, which isn't very Australian. It's actually Dutch. So
Okay.
So I'm
I know it probably sounds crazy coming from someone in my position, because I'm an American who lives in Ireland and plays in bars, which I'm assuming that the American that was with you last night thought I was joking when I said I was American.
No.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, he thought it. Like, he's bloody American and living in Ireland himself, so.
Yeah. Okay. You know, well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but he was cool with it, and took him a little bit to understand that you were from Arkansas. Yes. we slowly figured it out. But yeah, no, he was totally cool with it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Well, a lot of times what happens when I'm playing in the bars and I finish my set.
Yeah,
I'll meet quite a lot of American tourists, but then they'll come to me and they go, "Hey, man, where are you from?" and I'll say, "I'm from Arkansas," and they're like, "Get out of town," you know. And I suppose it's different if you live here. You're kind of like, "Oh, there's another one of me," you know. So retracing the events that happened last night, you guys left the bar after I finished my set. You wandered back in to say hello. I gave you a card. You said, "I'll give you a shout. I'm in Derry tomorrow," which is where I live.
Yeah.
And now you're here.
Yeah.
So, now, the thing about last night was is that we didn't really find out anything about each other.
Nah, it was improv. Not improv, impulsive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is improv.
Exactly.
this is the thing, is when I was driving back last night, it's about an hour and a half drive from maybe on your bike it's 20 minutes, but
yeah.
for me it's about an hour and a half drive. I was thinking, you know, if you had went on and I never saw you again, I would think to myself, I wonder what that guy how he got on with his bike journey.
Yeah.
Or would I ever see that guy again? I've always kind of been like that with people. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to look out the window at night, and I used to watch lorries or semis pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just wonder about the people who
and
they
just
are.
Just wonder who they are, their background. Would I ever see them again and not know it was them?
Yeah, exactly. No,
you know 100%. What I mean? So I thought if you look me up and you give me a shout today, I'll get you down for a podcast. So I'm really glad that you made it down.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. You're getting some of the first use of our new studio. So it's a pleasure to have you. Uh-huh. But what we talked a little bit last night about you're on a biker trip.
Yes.
Right. Is this solo? You're.
It is. Yes. It is solo. It's just me and my motorcycle, who I haven't actually named yet. So if anyone's got some good names to name a motorbike,
I got a great name for you.
Oh, you got a good name?
Modi McMoatface.
Oh, I was just thinking that. Like I put a post up before I left, and I said, I'm looking for a name for this bike, but don't call it that, you know, after that bloody boat incident, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You came, you were in Australia doing what you do, which, again, I don't know what you do.
I'm an occupational therapist.
Occupational therapist.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of work, I'm assuming you're...
Yeah, it's a bit different, but yeah. Working. But it's good, yeah, yeah.
But you've taken, you, so from Australia, now you've taken, is it 8 months off?
8 months.
Eight months off. Are you pregnant?
Yeah.
No, you've taken 8 months off
yep.
to go drive a motorcycle around Europe.
Yeah, well, that's right. See,
that's great. That's amazing.
Yeah, the thing was is that like I've pretty much just been on the education system my whole life, going from primary school, high school to university, and then university, got a job. And it kind of hit me, you know, after a couple of years working this job, I thought, like, I haven't really done much traveling around. Like, I went to the States for a little while, but nothing
oh, cool.
fantastic.
Where'd you go?
All over. I was playing College of South Carolina, so we moved around those sort of states.
All right, yeah. Brilliant.
But it was all school based, you know. So I wanted something different, and like so throughout my degree, so many of my friends went to Europe and did like Kentucky tours and all that sort of stuff, and. Well, it was definitely appealing. I needed something a bit more unique, you know. And I've just recently developed a huge love of motorcycle riding. It's a family thing. Like,
So this is like a recent kind of addition to your life.
Yeah, I've only been riding for maybe 2 or 3 years. That's right.
All right.
So,
wow.
So I got the. Just got used to it, and I thought like do a lot of practice, and I did a few what they call advanced courses to like work on handling and corners and stuff, and then I felt pretty good coming over to Europe and giving it a ride.
So how did you get here with the bike?
I purchased the bike in Cork.
Sorry, where did you start actually? Have you just started?
I have started.
You started here?
I did. I flew into London and saw the city of London, but in terms of the actual road trip, yeah, Ireland. It's my
excellent
first
man.
Yeah, so
and you hitting all you can hit all the European countries,
that's the plan, yeah.
Wow, man.
It's got a nice little map mapped out about it.
Yeah. Great, man. Well, you must have like an Instagram account or something.
I do.
Okay, nice. cool.
Yeah, it's Euro with Dan. It's very classy.
Okay, yeah. Cool. We'll put it in the description as well. And are you going to be taking like, a selfie every day or every town, or you get a GoPro?
I'm trying to. I've got a GoPro to record my rides, but I recently watched some movie that John Favreau directed. I can't remember what it was called, but he's in the movie. His son did like a 1 second video of every day on their tour.
Yes, yeah.
So I thought that'd be a good way to do it, you know, because I don't want when this is all over. Like apart from the thousands and thousands of photos I'll probably end up having, I feel like it's a good way to just wrap everything up neatly in a nutshell. Just show everyone like 1 second a day of everywhere I've been. You know, it'd be pretty nice.
That would be excellent. And would you put together like kind of a time lapse type of thing with
That'd
be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And what are your impressions of driving in Ireland so far? I mean, you got good weather this week.
I'm very lucky.
This is shocking weather. This is what Americans see in movies and think that it's like over there. So you really got good. Now you're getting it tight today. It's got cold.
No, it's coming. I'm looking at the forecast. Yeah. It's all coming. But she's riding, honestly, in Ireland's been fantastic.
Well, you went through some great places. You went through Donegal. I mean, that's
beautiful.
You went to Glenveagh, you were telling me last night.
Yeah, went to Glenveagh.
What did you think?
It's very nice.
It's touching, isn't it?
It is.
I found it emotional.
Yeah, it was bloody... I copped a lot of wind going through the mountains there in Glenveagh, but yeah, it was going into that national park.
You'd be very amazing. Careful on those roads too, because there's some crazy turns and curves, and and there's some roads that look like they're straight.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And that's just a roller coaster.
Exactly right. But fortunately, I'm lucky because Australia actually has we all drive on the same side of the road as Ireland here, so I don't have to worry about the whole changing over and all of this. So
that's you get an easy start then.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Once you hit Europe, I think it's all
all switches over. That's right.
Right. So, how long are you going to be in Ireland? Are you driving just through the countries, or are you getting like a tour through each one?
Because
8 months, I suppose you could.
Yeah, like it's not like an itemized tour. It's just I've done some research ahead and found all the things I really liked or people have talked about in each country, and that's my goal, is just to see each of those main points. That's pretty much how I've been doing it here. So in fact, before I even arrived in Ireland, I hadn't even heard of the Wild Atlantic Trail?
Wild Atlantic Way,
Wild Atlantic Way, yeah. I hadn't even heard of it, but it's just coincidental that all the stops are actually on that pass, and it's pretty much how I've been following.
That can pretty much get you... there's so much to see, I think, in Donegal itself.
Yeah.
And then Wild Atlantic Way. You get down around places like Galway and stuff too, and it's just... Ireland's got a lot to offer in terms of beauty and things like that.
Sure does.
Lovely pints of Guinness if you get a nice cold one with a short line between the pump and the keg, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, to be honest.
And tonight, you're going to head out tonight. I think you're actually going to head out to a place that I gig in.
I am.
Patter O'Donnell's.
Yes, that's right. We did talk about it. There was a few people that I'm hosteling with at the moment that are
heading
out there.
Are you in Paddy's Palace?
No, just in the hostel. Whatever it is, the inn or whatever. It's something really small. I can't even remember what it's called.
Okay. Is it in the town?
Yeah, it's right in the center.
I wonder if that's the one my buddy runs, John Bianco.
Maybe.
Is there a Canadian guy running it named John?
There wasn't there. It is Saturday, so
it's
maybe
not above a cafe, is it?
Oh, it's a bit in between two cafes. It's like a small door, and there's like two restaurants
on
in between.
Strand Road?
Yes.
Yes, that's my
that
buddy runs that.
Ah,
yeah,
there you go.
What do you call that? His name's John, anyway.
Ah.
Yeah, that's great. I think they even do some like live music up there sometimes for the people. But they a lot of the tourists like that. Those guys would go to Patter O'Donnell's. Mm-hmm. The Irish music, you know, there's meat hanging from the ceiling that's cured for 342 years, like quite literally. You know, things like that. That's a cool place. And then next door to it, the Guidor as well. There's normally good music and all. But I think if we hadn't got a chat and hadn't exchanged cards, we'd never cross paths like this. I would never find out.
No,
I think I think it's very interesting that you're coming over and you're going, this is something I need to do.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like you're searching for something. I know that feeling myself. Yeah. You know? It's what got me here.
Yeah, touche. I suppose it is like that. Like, in fact, it's kind of the reason I agreed to do this podcast today, because in all honesty, like, I'm over here, there's literally nothing to lose in meeting new people and doing things you never would have done before, you know, and that's just sort of like the whole sense of this trip that I'm trying to get, is that there's something I feel like I'm missing at the moment in terms of seeing what the world really is like. And even just coming out into Ireland, it almost feels like I've been behind a glass the whole time, and now I've burst through, and it's just so much more that I never expected, you know?
That's exactly what it was like for me, and I mean, I've been here 15 years, so 2005, I came over May 27th, 2005, and that's exactly what I got as well. I felt like just being here and experiencing the other part of the world, it was like, oh, I'm no longer as naive and shallow as I was.
100%. You know,
a very open-minded thing. Now, I think you're going to get a lot bigger taste of it going through all the countries. I mean, I got it again then when I went to my missus' country, Latvia, which you're going to as well.
I am, yes. I'm looking forward to it.
You have to look up Peter Supelnicks.
Okay.
Peter Supelnicks, a Latvian fella. I'll tell you what, you're in Latvia. Let's play a track, shall we?
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
This is Chris Noah, Follow Through. Mm-hmm. He's from Latvia. Maybe when you're over, he'll be playing or something, and we can hook you up or get you to meet my other friend, Peters. But for now, we'll just play this track and see how it goes, shall we?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, man. We'll be back in a minute. Mr. Black, Bloody Basement Podcast. That was Chris Noah with Follow Through. Nice young Latvian boy. He was just supporting Tom O'Dell there recently. He's actually coming over, we're trying to get him over for around February to perform live here and do a shoot and do a jam and do a podcast with us.
Awesome.
But again, we're back with Daniel. Say your last name again. This is so weird to do a podcast with somebody that I don't know.
It's Behrens.
Behrens.
Behrens, yes.
Daniel Behrens. That's a good name, man. So video wise, what are you doing for the trip? You've got a GoPro, is it?
I do. Yeah. So I've got the GoPro is just for riding, And then I've got a camera separately just to take photographs and videos and all the rest.
Okay, what have you got camera wise?
I don't actually. I think I've got it here. Nothing too flash, but it's just a Sony.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sony makes some great high end stuff at the minute. Some of those mirrorless ones and all.
Yeah, they do.
Have you seen the what is it? The DJ Osmo Pro or something?
Yeah.
That looks amazing, doesn't it? Yes. With a gimbal built on and all, and I think it's weatherproof.
I think it'd be a fine addition, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah, totally. I'll be honest, I've never actually even driven a motorcycle, ever.
Really?
And when you say that you're fresh into it, do you mean that you like had never driven before and you just went, I'm going to do this? Or?
Yeah, that's right. Like before actually, well, I mean, I've driven a car, but before actually riding a motorcycle, the best experience I had was just a bicycle.
Yeah.
It does take a fair bit of trial and error to, get into riding.
You just don't get as many forgiving errors with a motorcycle.
No, you're quite right. But I remember starting out, in Australia, it's a 4-hour course to get your initial license.
All right, okay.
And
do you need a motor vehicle license before that?
No.
So you could drive a motorcycle without.
That's right.
You driving can. A car. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was thinking just starting it. I'm going, how the hell am I ever going to do this? Like, even just sitting on the bloody thing and hoping it didn't fall over. Like, it took a good couple of hours just to get used to the weight and balance and all the rest.
Of course. Yeah. Well, I suppose bikes would be more like that than cars because the different size bikes and the speed and weight ratio, things like that.
Yeah.
So. Geez. I don't know. I kind of came over on a plane and then walked for 12 years and then got a license in an automatic car. I kind of took it easy. And you're just diving right in with the motorcycle. Man, that's great. That's amazing. It's inspiring to see people having that kind of boost in their psyche because, I mean, I think it's important.
Yeah, cheers, mate. But the reason I got it was I felt like it'd be a much easier way to actually go out and see everything by having like an easier transport like that.
And then the fuel's just irrelevant,
Yeah. I feel like I'm saving a lot of money with the fuel.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better for that. I mean, it's you don't even think about it, do you?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put $2 in, I'll be sweet.
Yeah, exactly. The hardest part about riding a motorcycle, apart from the occasional bad windstorm and all the rest, was actually...
because you don't have... I guess... sorry to interrupt again.
Yeah, you're good.
I never thought about it until you said, wind or maybe rain or something, but you don't really have windshield wipers on your visor.
Nah, not at all.
So how does that work?
Best we've got is wet weather gear. So there's special jackets and pants that we put on that... a waterproof, but if the water gets
in,
pretty well.
You can see pretty clear, yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't fog up or anything. I know it probably sounds stupid, but
no, they can fog up, but my helmet in particular. I think some helmets do have this, but it's got like a special defogger thing. So if the temperatures are colder outside than inside, it'll push the fog out.
Where'd you get that? Did you get that from Tony Stark? Is that the new?
No.
Is that Oculus?
Yeah. Oh, but I tell you what, I've been wanting an Iron Man helmet for a long time.
Who doesn't?
Doesn't? They look pretty good.
I get jealous when I see kids wearing really cool ones, toy versions.
Absolutely.
The eyes light up and I'm like, where's a me size one of those?
Yeah, exactly.
You can get one when you were two.
Yeah.
It'd
be good. Be good to dream like that as a kid again. So easy to be a superhero when you're a child,
Absolutely, yeah. Because you're already there once you put a blanket in the back of your shirt and say, "I have a cape."
Exactly.
That's it.
Well, I used to funny story. I used to do drama in that in high school, and we used to reenact me being the Hulk with a smaller guy in my class. So you'd have the mad transformation sequence, and then. Boom, then I appeared on stage and they painted me green as much as I could.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. Well, sorry, so was this like a Hulk musical?
Not a musical, just but like play? A, just a play.
Brilliant, man, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I wish a Hulk musical would be interesting.
That'd be amazing, but you'd need like the the bungees and everything for that, so you can leap on buildings and all. I don't think they supply those at high school, do they?
No.
They should. Make it more fun for us.
Yeah,
okay, so you've been to Dunloe. Cork you started in, yeah.
I did,
So you've come up, and you'll head towards England, yeah?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Are you hitting Port Rush or Port Stewart or anything like that? That'd be a shame if you're not. I'm playing there tonight, you see, and just...
Port Rush? Oh, jeez.
Well, Port Rush and Port Stewart are about 3 miles from each other.
Are they?
Just past Coleraine.
Oh, really?
So it's about an hour from here.
Okay, right.
But, man, that's a great spot. If you can get up tomorrow even and get down there for a little while.
Yeah.
The Sundays are great wee days down there.
Yeah, right. I just haven't... heard of it, to
there's
be honest.
A place. There's a place called Kiwis. I'm playing in it tonight.
Yeah,
it's owned by an amazing guy from New Zealand. Great bar, great craft beers. You want to try some of the, like, really nice craft beers around Ireland? They've got them.
Yeah, right.
It's really beautiful stuff. Great spot. Fantastic place. Yeah. Go in there, and just tell them behind the bar. Tell Chris, ask for Chris, and tell him Justin sent you. If you can make it up, I'll tell him tonight that you might. Yeah. If you can.
So it's
a shame to miss that. Because there's the Giant's Causeway and everything up around there.
Dunluce Castle
and all that.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss all that stuff. That's really good.
Then I am heading that way, yes.
Sweet, cool.
I just didn't know
Bushmills and all that.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you get to Port Rush. Type in Kiwis.
Kiwis, okay.
Get in there, get a bite to eat. Tell them I sent you.
Okay.
I'd be happy to see you, man. Great guy.
No worries.
Great guy.
Sounds good, yeah. I don't know, Kiwis and Australians seem to get along pretty well anyway.
100%. So, yeah. Well, I thought he was Australian for a long time.
Oh, they hate that.
And then he was like, nah, mate, I'm of New Zealand. Yeah. And I was like, oh, where's that?
Gets pretty awkward pretty quick, doesn't it? Yeah.
No, not at all, man. Yeah, you guys are very chill. Mm. As I told you, I think last night I mentioned that I used to have a lead guitarist from Melbourne, Australia.
Yes, that's right.
And when I was 20, you know, and I used to just... I couldn't be around him for 30 seconds without asking about a certain type of spider or a snake or a shark. And he was like, would you fucking leave me alone? I haven't fucking seen one. Like, you have the worst ones in the world.
Yeah. They're
good hiders, man. They don't.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? But I suppose that, I mean, that's the difference between, you know, you're traveling to all these different countries that have different characteristics and different features to them. And that's the crazy thing about it. Go on the other side of the world, and there's different life forms there.
Yeah, but I still feel like that's a misconception. Like everyone.
Well, displaced... I mean, like for the likes of Ireland, there are no snakes.
Oh yeah, I know.
For me, that's great. You know.
Yeah, but I just feel like, you know, everyone's telling me that they don't want to come to Australia because, like, something's going to kill them. Like, what's going to happen? Like, you're going to walk off the plane and, like, you're going to get bitten by something. And
but see, that's what these Discovery Channel documentaries are doing to the world.
Oh yeah.
You know, this spider can penetrate a leather boot with its fangs.
I mean, it can. It just doesn't want to, you know? Like, why would it? But...
Yeah, well, see, now that doesn't make me feel any more secure the way you just said that. No, you just confirmed a fact. They just did it in a deep voice.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, so, I mean, a spider can pierce a leather boot with its fangs. But still, it's...
bastard.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not coming over. So the next time I see you, you'll be back here.
Yeah.
No, I would love to. I would love to go over. I like a lot of some of the Australian music over there.
Mm.
Meg Mack, I think, is Australian, isn't she?
Yeah. Fuck,
class.
She's
John Butler Trio. Mm. Xavier Rudd.
Yeah. But they're all sort of recent, I suppose. Like, when everyone names Australian music, they always say AC/DC. It's like the usual go-to. They always love saying AC/DC.
Oh, my God, what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Fuck off.
No, seriously.
Seriously, is AC/DC Australian?
They are.
They're not.
They are.
Don't lie. Seriously.
Yeah,
that's fucking mental. Yeah, how did I miss
living,
that?
Yeah, either I've been living on a lie for the last 20 years. No, mate, that's like...
Are they? Fuck.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I didn't know that at all, man. Holy fuck. We learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I didn't know Keith Urban was Australian for a long time as well.
Yeah.
He does the American Southern accent pretty well, you know.
It makes sense with, because he's with Nicole Kidman, yeah? So,
yeah, that's right.
So it makes sense. But yeah, for sure.
Right. Well, okay. You live in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
What's the population of Sydney? What's the size of Sydney?
I think we're nearing We're over 6 million. We're nearing 7.
Wow. Soon.
Yeah. So too many people, there's not enough spiders or anything. So Sydney's a safer place. You
know? Well, the more people they are, the easier it is for the spiders to take the people out without noticing.
Exactly.
You see?
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's what's happening. You know? I reckon you need to do away with shoes. That seems to be the that's the scary thing.
Well, you know, funny, we all wear, what do you call them, flip-flops? Or we call them thongs, but yeah.
Yeah. I was telling my missus that. She's a Latvian, you see.
Yeah.
And I told her that earlier this week, and she says something about flip-flops. And I said, technically, they're thongs.
Yeah.
Jesus wore thongs. And she was like, that's silly. And I was like, no, I'm telling you. And she didn't believe me. She wouldn't believe me that flip-flops are actually called thongs. But one thing they don't do enough of in Ireland is wear flip-flops. And I suppose they haven't got the weather for it. But I fucking love flip-flops. So I reckon in that regard, I would fit in great in Australia.
You would.
I would never wear shoes again.
It's a pretty regular thing. I miss my flip-flops or thongs. It's like, don't even have to worry about doing up your shoes or anything, you know. You can just slip them on and off you go, and it's accepted everywhere.
Joe and I normally do podcasts in flip-flops.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And we get so much grief for it because, like, Irish Joe would land down in a suit.
Really?
And flip-flops.
Wow. I like
thinking
that.
Thinking he's fucking Steve Jobs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see, with a gun. No, I'm joking. It wouldn't.
Well, you see, a suit with flip-flops would be accepted, but they were really against flip-flops and
socks.
Yeah, it's an ugly look, man.
Yeah.
Very ugly.
Especially if it's split in the toe. Yeah. You can kind of get away with it more if it rounds the foot and you're like, okay, you can see. You can wear those and your foot can be warm but comfortable, but you still don't go out within that. Yeah. No. That's not it. I don't think it's accepted anywhere except early 90s America. So
that's right. Especially if they're bloody knee high.
Was the problem, wasn't it? Yeah. That was hood barbecues in the 90s.
Yeah.
Don't be a menace and all that yet. Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, what do you notice so far, Irish-wise versus Australia-wise? What do you, you must miss something now. You must have been to a shop or a store of some sort and went, fucking wish I had that. Could be food, could be clothes, could be.
Well, honestly, it's not so much the store. It's honestly the landscape. Australia has its outback and all the rest, but just this coastal, the cliffs and all that, just don't see that in Australia. You know, it's just so green and beautiful and all that.
I suppose you're talking about the cliffs of down south, more Galway direction.
Moher?
Moher,
that's one. Yeah,
that's right. But we were there this summer.
Yeah, but not even just that, just all over the place. Like just riding down one of the main roads, like the N56 today, and just seeing all these green hills popping up. Like this doesn't happen as much in Australia, you know? Like it's nowhere near as vibrant in colour or alive. Like I get like it's spring here, so things are like coming out, but
In fairness to Ireland, it has that beauty quite most of the year. I mean, it rains a lot, and the rain does bring out the greenness, you know.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, especially around Dunloe where you were.
Yeah.
Coming through Glenveagh National Park, I mean, you really see it there. You have famine houses and you're going, holy fuck, this is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really freeing. I mean, that opens your mind on its own. I can't imagine being on like a motor between your legs and flying through there would be amazing.
So and that's just it. So that's like the big difference for me. And that's because to be honest with you, like I don't really mean to say this because the majority of your fans are Irish, but like
actually not true.
Oh, it's not.
They are very very American based.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, to be honest, before I came over to Ireland, Ireland honestly was just one of the countries I was ready to tick off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really wanted to see every country that's here, but, like, there's nothing really that stood out for me in Ireland. But just getting over here, like we were saying before, the naivety has just completely changed 100%. Everything around, you know? Like, I went to Galway, and
that's a great town.
But initially, I didn't really like it that much because it didn't seem to carry the same sort of beauty that the rest of Ireland did.
And I suppose you're there in April.
Yeah, that's
and it's right. Yeah. I mean, like you want to be there in June, July.
I mean, that's true. But it was like settling into the town, like seeing what it had to offer. that changed my perspective on it. You know, like it's just, it was more about the way the streets are filled with people through the day, and then they've got all the street performers and all that, and the live bands. Like, I haven't seen that anywhere else in Ireland, and that's what made me really appreciate Galway.
And I think that's why I appreciate Galway so much. And I mean, you might get that in Dublin and Grafton Street, but there's definitely a certain buzz about Galway that is unmatched in Ireland, as far as I've been. And it's exactly what you say, and it's a place where you sort of feel a little more comfortable to, after you break yourself in for a few hours, get a bit more comfortable, and you're like, I'm going to neglect my culture and just try and observe this one for a while and partake. Yeah. And it's a great thing to do. That's the spot to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of culture. And history is rich in Ireland. I think that's the thing.
Oh, for sure it is. Yeah.
There's Grinnan Fort not far from here. What is it? 10 miles, maybe? You can see it when you're around the city, this fort on top of a hill.
Yeah.
It was built by the Vikings around the time Jesus was born. It's still there. It's beautiful. And you can bike up to that. It's not far out or anything. You can bike up to that and get a look, and you can see a good few counties from the top.
Yeah, right.
That's a really beautiful view. Get out there.
Yeah.
Make that your first thing you do when you get on the bike tomorrow. Grinnan Fort.
Grinnan Fort.
Grinnan Fort.
Yeah.
Ask anybody, they'll tell you where it is. Very easy to get to. Very easy to get back. As I say, it overlooks Derry. It's almost like a, you know, like
lookout
Beauty
post,
and
man.
The Beast. There's one of those castles in the far off looking over. It's really cool. Yeah, man.
Mr. Black Pasta's
Bloody Basement Podcast.
Well, have you got a date set for when this ends?
Well, my flight back is December 3rd, but like I'm just happy to keep going until I, you know, feel satisfied with what I've done.
And what is that going to take? Are you searching for something? Do you feel as though you're missing something that you need to proceed in your life, or is it more of a just kind of enjoyment, fulfillment kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it'd be more towards fulfillment. I think it's more about seeing what everyone else has been bragging to me about for years, and just understanding why everyone loves Europe the way they do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And from my experience in Ireland...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and my experience in Ireland so far, I think it certainly... I'm already starting to understand, you know, and to think that there's so much more out there, so many different cultures and all that, even though they're so, you know, squished in together, I really can't wait to experience it at all, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose when you're driving a bike every day, you don't allow yourself to get too drunk at night, do you? You have to kind of taste.
Only the places I spend more than one night at. So.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Are you gone tomorrow? Is that right?
Yeah, we'll be. I'll be heading up the Antrim coast towards Belfast. So I'll try
Brilliant.
And see all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
So you'll go out towards Limavady and Coleraine and Port Stewart, Port Rush will be there. Ballycastle's another good spot up there.
Yeah.
And then you'll head in towards. Well, I suppose when you're up towards Port Rush and Port Stewart, you will be sort of equal to where Malin Head is, only it's across the lock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
So Malin Head is in the south, as they call it, the Republic of Ireland, but it's the most northerly point, so it's very confusing.
Yeah.
I actually have a funny story about that. I used to do a lot of festivals and play with a band and all, and I was doing these festivals and they were great. And basically what they would do in Ireland is you would go to this town in the Republic of Ireland, and they would have a big lorry with the side open.
Right.
And you set up in there, PA and all, and you would play. And some of these were amazing. But sometimes there were odd happenings, you know.
Yeah,
like
it
would be good gigs, but maybe you're playing and the way they've positioned it, there's a main road in front of the stage that they couldn't close because it's the main road to another city. So you're playing, right? Mm. And then big lorries are just passing every 10 minutes.
Wow.
So you'd be playing. And it's so funny because you would stand and you would watch people, they'd be dancing. And then the second the lorry went by, you don't see them. You're still singing, but they can't hear you. And when the lorry moves, they've lost the rhythm and they're looking. They hear you again and they're back to dancing. So funny. Great times. But one time in particular, I did a gig. It was Greencastle, actually, near Malin Head. You probably went through there today.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Greencastle. I got ballsy because I had loads of really good festivals. The gigs were great.
Yeah.
And this was like the one to wrap up the weekend. And I was kind of ballsy. I'm really going to bond with this crowd. I thought, me, 22, thinking I'm a man. Right? I'm going to bond with this crowd. I'm really going to, they're going to, we're going to have a connection today.
Yeah.
So I decided to say the stupidest thing I've ever said on stage. I said, you know what? I said, it was going great. People were clapping, dancing, all that. And then after a few songs, I said, you know what? I got to say something. There's no better place to be in Ireland than in the South. Nobody sort of said anything. And I was going, my manager told me this was in the South. And this boy shouted up the stage. He goes, this is more North than the North, lad. And I was like, no. And I said, oh, well, just did my show, but fuck. That'll make you learn to tame your confidence.
No, I like it though. I like it. You went out on a limb. Hopefully.
Went out on a limb.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. So.
Yeah, you have to, of course. Yeah. So you let's talk about more about you in Australia, because I don't know anything about you. You don't know anything about me.
Hmm.
What are your hobbies? What are you into? You said something about gaming earlier.
It's been a few years now, but used to be a massive video game player. Nintendo, more than most, loved it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, cool. Have you got the Switch?
I do.
Nice one, man.
Yeah.
But, it looks good.
It does. It's a very nice machine. But Pogon was like my go-to for ages. Brilliant. Like, just remember getting the first game, Red, when I was 3 years old, and then it just stuck with me for life.
Oh, is this back in like Game Boy Advance and Dreamcast days?
Just past Dreamcast, the Game Boy.
How old are you?
24.
24, really?
Yeah.
What? And you had like, you know, Dreamcast and all that?
Oh, yeah. Well, when Super Smash Brothers came out, I just got really intrigued with where everyone, like the origin of everything. So I found out Dreamcast, the NES, even the bloody Atari and the...
That's crazy when you guys call it the NES and the SNES, which is what they call it here in Ireland as well.
The Super Nintendo?
The Super Nintendo or NES,
yeah.
It's crazy that, or even is it the Sega Genesis and the Sega Master System?
Yeah, that's right.
And there's Master Drive as well. But
that's right. And then they got Dreamcast on top of it.
Yeah, that was great. Sega Saturn as well.
Yeah,
Sega CD.
Sega Saturn. Yeah.
That's a great history to get into. I watched a movie, was it called Games? Video games.
Mm.
That was great as well. And it was about the history of them.
Yeah,
you
right.
know where that started was like, it was like this pod, this big massive pod. And it was an accident. It was like a mishap in programming.
Oh, right.
They created this like asteroid game. You remember how like it would point here? And
I remember that.
And you sort of negotiate it, but it was really basic. So I think it was like the 60s or something, 70s maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
60s. Can't remember, but
it's certainly come a long way from there.
Yeah, well, they were doing like competitions, they were doing like multiplayer,
well,
tournaments with that.
Actually, I just saw it was going around Facebook recently that there's some 16-year-old just became the new Tetris World Champion. And like,
is that they still have Tetris Championships?
Yeah,
class,
it's the annual World Championship or something. And like that game came out in the bloody 80s or something, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, well, it was a hit when I was a kid. I mean,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, it still is, you know.
And it was one of those games. See, that was the thing, is that there were a lot more games back then that, like, the whole family would play.
Mm.
Like, my mom would have played Tetris. My uncle was playing Tetris. My cousins, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody was on that,
mm.
you know. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm an Xbox One guy, ashamed to say, at this stage.
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe. But it's not the worst, by all means.
No. When I had the option for Xbox One or PS4, I wish I would have went PS4.
Hmm.
VR and all that. But I think the problem was for me is that I liked where they were going with Kinect 1.
Yeah,
and
that's
I thought Kinect 2 was going to be the shit,
yeah.
and it wasn't. It was a dead piece of equipment. Like, so I got the Xbox One, but I don't know. Maybe the problem is I don't have a lot of time, so I play Call of Duty.
Hmm.
I know.
No, it's shameful.
It's shameful.
Look, I've never got into it personally, but like, this just seems like the sort of games people play these days are the just online player games. Like,
yeah, I think it's because time. Like, I mean, you take Call of Duty, it's like an 8 to 10 minute match. It's always challenging you. It's always going to be different. There's no, you're not going to figure out the bot movement.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's somebody. You can't just run at them and get super close so they can't shoot you or anything.
Yeah.
You know, typical sort of knacks that you could find. So I can sacrifice that. Whereas if a guy I'm sitting down to play, I'm on Assassin's Creed Black Flag. That's how far back I've played them all up to that.
Yeah.
But that's how little time I have. You know,
Black Flag was a really big game at the time. Good game, you know? Yeah. But no, absolutely. I had that realization a few years back. I was playing a game called Xenoblade Chronicles, which like a Nintendo game. It was the main character Shulk. He was in Super Smash Brothers for the 3DS and Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an old game, like
2010 it came out.
Oh, right, okay. No, I'm thinking of something else.
Though. Yeah, they did have a
saga. So you like your more sort of platform kind of games, things
like that? Well, I did, but it actually took me 130 real-time hours to actually beat it, and I thought, I just don't have that time anymore, you know?
Like, I mean, that's the thing, is it, and you're going, you want to play these games, you end up getting hooked, or you walk away and you forget where you were, and it's possible nowadays with the dimensions, but...
Yeah,
it's just, it's hard to find the time to play video games. As a 34-year-old, I find it hard to find the time to play video games. And I miss them.
Oh, yeah.
I do miss them, definitely. 100%. But I've kind of moved on to VR stuff. I've gotten really into VR. I love it. I've got an Oculus Go.
You're looking forward to VR porn?
I've tried it.
Have you?
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried
it. That's fucking amazing.
Is it?
Well, okay, so, well, let's talk about it then. Let's talk about VR porn. We'll not go through techniques. We can talk about the experience, what that's like. So,
okay, tell us.
Now, we did it, I think we did it on a podcast, or before a podcast. That's what we did. We tried it. But it's just, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because, you can see where this is going to be fucking huge. But it's like, I have a little bit darker skin. So when I look down, and I'm a skinny white dude with a big dick, like, not that I don't have a big dick, but this is like, you know, this is like 10 inches. I'm going, it's not mine.
It's unsettling.
I don't think it's hers either, but she's acting like it is, you know? But so most of them start out, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting. So if you've ever been in VR, you know, you can look around. It's the Oculus Go has got the 3 degrees of freedom.
Hmm.
I want the Quest or the Rift, but it's got the 6 degrees. But for now, you get that. So you basically can look left, right, up, down, right? Infinitely, I guess. So it starts off, and there's a girl in front of you dancing, and now it's pretty realistic, apart from the quality of the video. Quality of the video is a little bit like, do you remember when it was like the N-Series Nokia?
Yeah.
3GP files and all? So it's a bit like that kind of pixelated, but still there, you get it? Like,
I feel like that makes it feel more like porn, though.
Doesn't it? Yeah. So there's it's got that amateur feel.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a very amateur. Somebody used a Nokia N-Series phone on a gimbal. It does have that kind of, it does kind of have that buzz. But the weirdest part for me is when the girl, like, will come over to you. They're all the same. All the VR porn is the same. It's like you sitting and the girl. The girl comes over and, like, bends over in front of you, and, like, there's a butthole in your face. Like, that's a butthole.
Jesus. Yeah.
It's not like, you can't just cover your eyes. Yeah, that, you know?
It's a Nokia grain butthole. Oh, my
God. It's a 3GP butthole, man. or like, when there's vag in your face. That's when it really gets a bit weird. Because, you know, when they bend over and the vag spreads, and that's here. You're going, you know. I don't know. I don't know how it's...
And even when you do that, it's still following you, you know?
Yes, exactly. You're like, whoa. Need those extra degrees of freedom there to get away from this one.
Yeah.
So we did it like that, and I put it on. I was laughing. I handed it to my friend. He put it on. My other friend put it on. And then my missus was like, let me have a look. And she literally picked it. And I think it was at the vag flashy part.
Yeah.
The spreading the vag shit, right? And she picked it up, and she literally went, let me see. Woo! And set it down, you know. But it's that close to you that it's, you know, you get that kind of realism. But the quality's not, you know. Yeah. But what is good on the go, I think, like Oculus kind of stuff, is like Netflix and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I can go upstairs. We don't have a TV in the room. If I can't sleep, put the go on, I'm in a cinema.
Yeah, right.
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
And the Oculus Go has got great battery life. I can watch a 2.5 hour film. if it doesn't require internet, I'm pretty sure it could go longer.
Mm.
Maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of gaming.
Okay.
That's not bad. That's really good. Yeah, there's like I haven't over it hasn't overheated once.
Oh, awesome.
You know, like the when you had the phone with the
yeah
the gear, you would put it in and it would overheat.
But yeah.
There's so much I was reading about these AR glasses coming out.
Yes.
I think they were just really they were talked about yesterday, but they look like normal glasses.
Mm.
But they can I guess black out the glass too and become a VR. The world's going crazy. What do you think about that? So you're out here and you're doing like this big sort of self campaign to find yourself by assumingly trying to involve yourself more in the real world,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you think it's ever going to get to a time where the real world's going to be secondary to?
I definitely think it's coming. In fact, on a social level, I think it's already happened.
100%, I agree.
But like, what it actually reminds me of is these treadmills at the gym that I go to in Australia, and they have like a VR sort of walking track, and so you can choose like a path that somebody's filmed out around all the major cities.
Absolutely,
and it's like you're actually walking around there. And I think, well, but yeah, if that's as close an experience you can get, like it's almost like the real thing, you know? Like
yeah,
you turn, look up. Oh, there's the Eiffel Tower or something, and you're just walking along like this concrete path. I think, wow, like almost what's the point? People are happy enough to do that, and they're getting exercise at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, even other things, like I always wanted to jump out of an airplane. I used to love roller coasters, and then when I had a son, got a little bit older, your mind starts to play tricks on you. That's why I think it's great you're doing what you do now, because I don't think I would have the balls. I've learned too much. You need a bit of youthfulness to take something on like what you're doing. So, yeah,
but that makes me worried. What do I not know?
I think it's more of a hindrance than anything to just the age and the maturity and maybe the distrust and just everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can only sit in it. If you sit in a chair 100 times and it never breaks, you're happy with chairs. But the second you sit in one and it breaks, that you fucked.
Yeah.
You never look at chairs the same. So
no, that's fair.
I think it's the same with that. So, yeah, it's crazy that, you know, there's loads of real world things to do, but we've got this VR kind of concept growing at the minute, and you can even go and check out real estate and these things now. Mm. Or my buddy and I can sit in an Oculus room and chat to each other, and it's like there's really good pluses to it. I think there's more pluses to it, at least in its current state, than there is to social media in its current state.
Yeah.
Social media has loads of pluses, but compared to what it's doing to, you know, actual society, I don't know. What do you think? What's it like over in Australia? Is everybody glued to their phone?
100%.
Has it changed, like, nightlife in the past? Since the internet became predominant on phones and Facebook and...
Unfortunately, I wasn't too aware of nightlife before the phone dominant. I think going real old school, going to MSN and MySpace back when that was a thing.
MySpace? Yeah. Were you on MySpace?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I felt old. I was. I ran that thing, man.
Yeah.
I was friends with Tom.
Yeah, who wasn't? Tom was the best. But the thing was, like, it used to be, I missed out on so much in high school, like people making events and stuff. But you missed them all because, like, they're just doing it on social media. So, like, anytime somebody had a party or something like that, people who weren't on social media didn't actually ever find out about it. So it caused a lot of rifts.
That's crazy. Yeah, well, that's mad, you know. And I listen to, like, the Breakfast Club, some of, like, the radio station podcasts. And I think it was Jamie Foxx they had on, and he was talking about in the 90s how he used to get his reputation built up. He would just save everyone's number to, like, a pager or something like that, right?
Nice.
Everyone's number. So then, like, when he was... He would throw a party and then just invite his whole phone book out and throw this party, throw budget parties and all, right?
Yeah.
Throw these budget parties for like P. Diddy and shit. And,
yeah, that's the way.
And that's what sort of got him going and all.
Yeah.
And it's mad, you know, because there's so much, it's kind of like the thing with music at the minute. There's so much access to it that it's almost killing it a little bit.
Yeah. No, I can see where you're coming from. Definitely.
It's almost killing things a little bit.
Yeah.
No one's, well, at least here, no one's going out to hear music anymore.
Mm.
Kids aren't learning to play music anymore. The festivals have gone.
Yeah.
It's really died a lot. live venues or a lot of them's like what you saw last night, and that's scary. Like,
it is scary. You know, like someone who's, you know, making a living on that, like, it's very scary.
But and I don't know if it's scary or if it's a cool thing, but I noticed in Oculus in the VR headset the other day, they've got an app where you go in. I think it's called Melody. You go in and you can buy tickets to shows where they've brought a, you know, like Insta360 1X or something in.
Yeah, right.
And you can pick your spot. Like, you can move around, be on the stage behind the band and the crowd.
Mm.
It's really cool. I watched a couple sort of previews with like Macklemore and a few other guys, and it looked really good.
They're all getting on board.
Well, that's what we want to do here in the studio is get an Insta360 1X VR camera, best on the market for the budget.
Yeah.
Put it in the middle. Musicians around, have a VR experience where people can get in the room and sit and look at who's playing in here.
It would be fantastic. But it seems like, artists are moving into that technology sort of era. Like, I'm thinking of Marshmello, who just did his concert on Fortnite. You know, so instead of actually...
Oh, right.
Instead of actually making
That's
a concert...
Really,
he just got everyone on Fortnite to like a special room, and then he just played his concert there.
That's so good, yeah. And yeah, well, in VR, they've got Big Screen as well, which is like that, but it's like a cinema app, so you can stream from your... But it's crazy, this headset. I mean, sometimes I'm out here and I've got to render a video, and I need to know what it finishes, but I need to be in the house.
Yeah.
There's VR desktop. I just take the Oculus in there.
Ah.
Whenever I'm in there, I need to know if it's rendering. I just pick the headset up, look in. No. Or I can click. I can stream videos from it while I'm up in bed. It's a crazy world we live in. I mean, I was born in 85, so internet was military, if anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's really crazy. I was there when it started. And I thought the other day to myself, I thought, one day they're going to look back and they're going to go, they'll look back and they'll go, this is where it all kicked off. This is where the internet was born.
Mm.
This is when it hit society. This is when it started making changes.
Yeah.
And it'll be in history books.
Yeah.
If we get that far.
Honestly.
But that's crazy. Because I think about it and it's like, you always think about what it would have been like to grow up in the Stone Age.
Mm.
What would have been like to grow up in the Ice Age. The Age of the Dinosaurs. All of the Bronze Age. Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
At some point, they're going to say the digital age is just going to be history like the rest of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, give it 3 million years and people will be looking back as, like, the social age or something like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, I can pinpoint where I felt it changed the most. And, like, I think 2009 was right where I felt the biggest change and everything.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Recession hit 2008. Between 2009 and 2011... shit was changing.
Yeah, it was fast too. Yeah.
Fast, but somehow still gradual because it was over like 3 years. So for me, I had a moment there where I had a hand problem and I couldn't play guitar. I had to hire a guy to play for me. Hand just went. That was it.
Yeah.
That was scary. That was for about a year. But everything sort of started moving in between that and the bars were getting more empty. So I took this on myself and thought, this is because I'm shite now.
Yeah, right.
This is because I suck. Like, fuck, what's going on? That's crazy. So you felt that in Australia as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it just all sort of all felt it. Honestly, it feels like some big ripple effect. Something happened in the US or something and then just hit the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it has to be the internet. It has to be the internet. Social media, even.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think around that time, big hit was there too, 2009. That everyone just started getting more onto it. You know.
Yeah. Well, mobile phones became such a thing. I mean, cameras in your pockets that rival.
Yeah.
Some decent cameras now. Yeah. I mean, there's one coming out that's like fucking really good. Like,
yeah.
And it's scary. I was doing a shoot today for a beauty salon, and a guy had to run. The guy running had to run and grab me a battery from PC World. He went to PC World and was asking about cameras, and they said they're actually about to stop selling cameras.
Oh wow!
Because phones are taking over.
Really?
That's crazy.
that's
crazy. But you think about it. Everything's a video opportunity. Everything's an opportunity to post. Like before, if you're playing a gig, you got to an end of a song. the part where now would maybe be considered an awkward silence wasn't. It wasn't the awkward silence. It wasn't the part where you reached for your phone unless you were checking the time.
Yeah.
But now it is. It's the part where you reach for your phone and you run through your timeline. And I think a timeline is what's ruining our timeline.
Mm.
I think so, anyway. Will it continue to do so? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that coupled with the sort of... Well, no. I suppose they go hand in hand, the over-offensiveness now these days. Do you have that in Australia at the minute? This over-offended...
Yeah, big time.
You can't say anything, can't do anything. Everybody should lose everything they have because they said something in 83.
It's definitely there, but the...
It's not quite like America at the minute, is it?
No, but the irony...
I can say that I'm American, get over it.
The irony is that I think there's a lot of Australians... I wouldn't say we're racist or anything, not by a long shot, but I would say that we definitely love a good... We call it banter.
Banter is what they call it here as well.
Yeah, they love a good banter.
Or the crack you must have heard in Derry. The people, the podcast listeners will know what that means from Joe. Big shouts out to Irish Joe, who didn't bother turning up today again. We just need to throw that out there. Would have been nice for you guys to meet.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Here's an honest question, right?
Okay.
So, do you think you and I will ever meet again? Genuinely. Like, totally honestly.
Well, hey, it depends if you come back. You come to Australia despite the spiders.
I suppose you've one-upped me now.
Yeah, but honestly, there's a good chance. I would say no. Once I leave Ireland, which will be in another week, the only reason I'll be coming back here is to return the bike I brought. And if you're happy living your life in Ireland, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be because it's fantastic. I don't see why we would cross paths again.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And in saying that, that's why I think I went with doing this today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think me too. Last night it was like a moment. When you walk back into the bar, I thought, there's a reason.
Yeah.
This is a reason.
Yeah.
Or if it's not, you know, I don't know about fate and all, but...
I was actually looking for the barmaid, but that's all right.
Say it again.
I was looking for the barmaid, but that's all right.
Were you? Brilliant.
Yeah, we're talking.
All right, okay, cool.
But now I got you instead, so it's okay.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know, and I thought, like, if there's not some kind of reason predestined for this, then you can make one for it, and it's something to remember, which I think is what we found with podcasts ourselves. We started doing them. We were like, hold on a minute. This isn't just a podcast.
Mm.
This is shit that when you're 70, when your kids are 70, when your grandkids are 70, you know, they'll be able to listen back to you. I mean, if you think about it, with technology and how far it's come, this is the first moment that people have been able to look back and see their grandparents.
Yeah, 100%.
This is it. It's never been done before. No. I mean, you had maybe pictures from the 1800s, and then you had, well, voice recording was 1700s, maybe? Like the very first one?
Yeah.
His master's voice. And then it was like, you know, people had to paint it before that. Portraits and all were painted, and sculptures were sculpted. Yeah. And now you can print off a copy of a code, a digital code for a DVD or a video. So you imagine what's going to happen in 300 years, when they're able to look back and see Kanye West. Maybe that's all that's left is just Kanye West.
That's a shame. That'd be a shame if that's all that's left.
I agree. I agree. But you know what I mean? What happens if what would it be like if they could look back and
honestly,
because we never could. I mean, imagine if we could do that
with
the Bible and shit like that. We could easily discredit it or prove it.
Yeah.
It kind of disproves itself, but just saying.
I don't know. I feel like knowing too much is an issue. Like, I feel like there were obviously a lot of problems back in all those eras.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, I feel like we're documenting everything, and then people in 300 years' time will just be like, what a bunch of idiots we all were, you know?
Well, I suppose it does one thing. One thing I feel like it does is... this sort of society-wide epidemic of amnesia that we have to not remember how pyramids were built and not remember how this was and have to rediscover how why that worked and how come that was like that and how did they get that. Maybe to eliminate a bit of that. It's funny. Like, what effect is that going to have on the future of our race? What is that going to do? Because we haven't seen it in our whole history. The internet, cameras, phones, that's given us that ability. And it's just weird. I really wonder. I wonder what that's going to be like. And I wonder, as you say, is it going to be this just load, this pile of rubbish they're going to look at and go, okay, how do we get through all this?
Yeah, well, you know, just be like,
or maybe it's like digital fossil fuel in a million years, you know?
Yeah, could well be. They could find a better use for it. That's right.
The Bloody Basement Podcast. By Mr. Black Pasta.
So, yeah, all that stuff is crazy to think about it, and I just find it interesting to discuss it with a stranger because, you know, moments like this happen when you're in bars and you're having a pint and you go out for a smoke and you're steaming and you're, oh, I believe this and maybe that. But you don't really get that chance to do it like this, I think.
No, that's right. And I kind of like the idea that even though we're on the opposite sides of the world, a lot of our opinions are similar.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've got a great head on your shoulders for somebody who's 24. I mean, I wasn't like that. I was very open-minded, you know. I mean, I was never racist or homophobic or anything like that, but... Nah. I don't know if I viewed things the way that you do now. That's amazing. Like, that's a great... Like, you're a 10-year head start.
Oh.
I found this stuff out, like, 2 years ago, you know?
Well, cheers. But honestly, I just feel like it's the Australian way. We just lay back and see what happens.
Well, I'd love to get over there sometime, play a gig or something.
Oh, you should.
See a gig, yeah.
You should. You would, you know, they're like, every Australian that comes over to Ireland just wants to listen to Irish music.
Yeah.
They love it when Irish people or Irish-sounding people... come to Australia and play. You know, there are so many Irish pubs there, and
my friend actually has one
in Melbourne.
No. Sydney.
Oh, in Sydney, right?
Jimmy O'Neill's.
Okay, right.
Yeah, Jimmy O'Neill's. It's her pub. I actually do the graphics work for them and their logo and stuff. Oh, I just remembered that.
Yeah, no way. But like, obviously, it's not like as real as obviously being in Ireland. But anything to make it more authentic. People really appreciate it, you know. So I don't know. Like, our Irish people are just very popular in Australia.
They're very popular in America too. Yeah. I mean, the first Irish girl I met, I married and moved over here. You know, so yeah.
And you found out she wasn't even Irish.
She wasn't a woman. I'm just kidding. No. And that's okay. There's nothing offensive about that. That's my preference. I prefer a woman to sleep next to, and that's okay. Get fucking over it. You're off tomorrow. Right, give me a... Before we go, we'll play another song as well, too. I'll play Chris Noah since you're heading to... Did we do Chris Noah already? We did, yeah. Chris Noah. We'll do Connor Mason. Crown of Weakness, that's the name of the song, yeah. Mm. He's a Derry guy. Put links in the description below. But before we go to that, and before you get back on your bike and head off, and we never see each other again... give me a rundown of your plan, like your country to country.
Oh, like I can list them for you if you like. But
yeah, please do.
All right. Well, we've got Ireland, then okay. Scotland, and then England, and Wales, and then England. So the UK sorted. Then we're heading over to France, Germany, Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, then up Scandinavia way. So Norway.
And you'll get there through the Baltic states, is that right?
Yeah.
That's okay, right. Cool.
Yeah. Norway, Sweden, Finland, then catching the ferry down to Estonia, then Latvia, Lithuania, moving around to Poland. What's further down there? There's a bunch of countries I have to unfortunately miss just because of the way the visa works, mm-hmm. Bosnia and...
Yeah, of course.
Kosovo,
yeah.
And that, which is a shame because they looked really good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I would even go to Russia and everything.
Man. Yeah, that's right. I would love to too.
The better.
Yeah.
The only place you shouldn't go in the world is that island where they kill people with bow and arrows when they come on to try and save them and bring them to bring them to religion. Don't go there.
No.
I don't think it's bike friendly.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't think it's bloody people friendly. But anyway. Then going Bulgaria, Romania, down to Greece, and then back the same way into Croatia and then Italy.
Croatia should be good as well, yeah.
Yeah. Then Monaco, Spain, and Portugal, and then back up to France.
Are you going to the Isle of Man or anything like that?
I'm looking into it. I would like to.
I would too. I would love to go.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I could actually help you. You could possibly cut your time down a bit, cut a few countries out if you wait to June and Brexit goes through. So technically, not Europe.
Yeah, I guess true. That's true. Oh, I'll be in a lot of trouble if that goes through.
I think we all will. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, my missus is Latvian.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see what happens. That's for another podcast. Yeah. Well, Daniel, man, it's fucking great meeting you, man. And I hope that we're wrong. Hope we do cross paths again.
I hope so too.
Because it's a pleasure. And it's like, I feel as though I got to stop one of those lorry drivers and have a conversation with him now.
Yeah. And I'm glad I did this too. It's a real sense of appreciation for me, just seeing that, meeting some stranger and being able to do this sort of stuff. And if you guys are interested, just follow me on Instagram again. That's hashtag Euro with Dan. But Justin, it's been a pleasure, mate.
Hey, it's been the pleasure's all mine, and we'll promote that for you as well too. Cheers. And if you want, you can send us some snaps as well too. We'll toss them in a couple of videos when I get a few out.
Yeah, cheers.
All the fans are dying for more horror videos, but we had to finish the studio first. But that's it. We've done our first podcast in the studio. Irish Joe flaked out on us. He's a pansy. Don't like him anyway, but we got Daniel instead. And in fairness, I would say you're about the height to make up two guests, so it's like having three. So yeah, cool. We'll see you on Instagram, Dan. And to close us out, this is a guy from Derry, Northern Ireland. This is Connor Mason with Crown of Weakness on the Bloody Basement Podcast. I'm Mr. Black. God bless you. Good night.
His problem is it, 'cause it's not yours. Don't climb the walls. Invisible cures. Spare yourself the humiliation. You've done enough. Now all you can do for the fools who pushed you down, where your weakness has a crown. For the fools who pushed you blind spot. I'll lift your head toward the bright unknown and carve your message with this heart of stone. For the fools who pushed you down, where your weakness has a crown. For the fools who pushed you down. Hold out your
for the fools who pushed you down.
The Bloody Basement Podcast
by Mr. Black Pasta.